come to, John chapter 7, which is where I believe he wants to give us a little bit of an uplift. John chapter 7 has a lot of goodies in it, but I want to kind of give you the verse 16. Maybe I should give you part of verse 15. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Which is kind of cool because you can see they are so into religious training in order for acceptance to be a part of what they believe about those that are anointed. But this one doesn't fit their mold. How did this man get such learning without having studied? And Jesus answered, my teaching is not of my own. It comes from him who sent me. So now, he's identifying who he is, but they're not catching on. He said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Then he gives them a word of wisdom. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet, not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? And now here's their opinion of him. You are demon-possessed. The crowd answered. So it's not just one. Who is trying to kill you? And Jesus said to them, I did one miracle, and you were all astonished. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a child on a Sabbath. Now, if a child can be circumcised on a Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on a Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances and get a right judgment. As I was pondering about these words this morning, I gave them to you because I believe that the Holy Spirit is really trying to awaken in us about what he wants. And I kept hearing one word over and over most of the morning, which was the rivers of living water. And it came in verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By the way, that's why we went to Psalm number 1, because it's also connected. But I want to take you to Psalms 36. Because in Psalms 36, it gives you a little tiny bit more about the river. Psalms 36, verse 8. The feast, they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight. It gives you a little bit of understanding that there's a river that is going to lighten up things coming from within you. Now, if you'll go to Psalms 46, you're going to look at verse 4. Psalms 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. I'd like you to kind of back that one up to verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, and an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the hearts of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Who is the city of God? Us. We are the Holy Jerusalem. So the river is within the city, and it travels to do a job. The next chapter I want you to go to is Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel goes a little bit deeper about the river from the temple. Now, where's the temple? Us. It's us. We are the temple. Holy Spirit says we are the temple, and He is resident within us. 47 verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the temple faces east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. Now, if you can see the vision in your own mind, ankle deep water is not going to stop you from doing what you want. You can walk whatever way you want. You can do whatever you want. And I believe that many times people think that God is leading them, but they're just doing their own thing. Water's only ankle deep. Verse 4, he measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through the water that was up to the waist. Now, what's the difference? Up to the knees, you can still do what you want. You can just do as you please, and you just got to lift your feet a little higher. But there's something coming down the highway of God's plan at the Feast of Tabernacles on the last day. That's what that other scripture said, isn't it? The last day of the feast. Which is the last day of the feast? The seventh day. What is the last day of God's creation? The seventh day. There is water coming that is going to be so outstanding that it's going to flood the city of God. That's you. And when there's water up to your waist and over, pushing you around, you're not going to be able to do and step what you know, where you want, do what you want, because that river is going to take you where He wants. And He's going to wash away all that old stuff that you used to control.
Amen. That's what I'm fighting for.
But that's on the way.
I know it is.
All right. I go back to this scripture back in the early 90s. I happened to be in Sherbrooke, Canada, on a Sunday morning with my brother and his wife. And the message by the pastor in Canada was Ezekiel 47. And I was overwhelmed. I was excited about it because it was all about what God was doing in Toronto. Anybody remember the Toronto revival? Well, I was excited about that because I thought, this is cool, Lord. This is really cool. I come home and somebody hands me a tape of Sunday morning service at Grace Church of Christ. Guess what the message was?
Ezekiel 47.
Ezekiel 47. Exactly the same Holy Ghost. And Gino was preaching on the same message. That particular day kind of shook me because I was aware God could do anything he wanted, wherever he wanted. But I had a knowing that this was more than normal. You know when more than normal happens? Mm-hmm. Like it happened this morning, more than normal? Mm-hmm. The coordinates between those visions were more than normal. The coordinates to let you know that he's on the job are more than normal. And you're getting to know that you have a river within you that is more than. And he's about to do something awesome. Okay? Now, verse 5. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. What does that mean? If it's a river that no one can cross, it means no will of man will be able to get involved in adjusting God's will. That's what I understand it to be. I get to the place where I am totally in line with him and I can't do anything on my own. I believe St. Paul touched that space. Because he came to a place where he says, I will do what is inside my heart, even if you tell me I'm wrong. Such as the prophets who tried to keep him from going back to Jerusalem. And they warned him, you are going to get yourself killed and tied, and you're going to be what? Put in chains. Was it God's plan? Yes, it was. Even in the book of Acts, it says later on that Jesus came to the Lord, to Paul in his jail cell and said, you did well. You didn't listen to anybody else's opinion but mine. And I believe that that's what's going to happen in the church. It's going to be so awesome with the living water flowing from you. See, there's always this attitude in the mind of flesh that says it's going to be supernatural. It's going to come from
within the church.
Within the church, within us. As we gather together. Why do you think there's such a war when we try to come together? If there was no war, there would be no resistance. There is a war that cries out and says, oh, you should be doing this, or you should be doing that. Oh, you don't need this, you don't need them. I've got news for you, we need each other.
Amen.
And the more that you get independent, the more you're putting pressure to walk away. And believe it, when I say this, I'm not judging you. The Word is judging you. It's not me. I have nothing to do with being angry with you or whether you're here or not. That is not my issue. My issue is to let you know that your battle is not against flesh and blood. And you better think about where you're serving and whom you're serving. And how will you develop those spiritual senses if you're on the outside looking in? How? You know, when the Lord pulled me away from the Roman church, he gave me a word. I can't give you the date. I don't remember it. I know it's around 91, 92, somewhere in there. And he said it very, very clearly. If you remain, you will not be able to survive. Because you need the intercessors around you to go where I'm taking you. That's your vision, girl. But that was the truth. There was a crew of intercessors at Grace when I started there that began to support what God had planned for me. Did I understand it? No. Did I comprehend what they were doing? Absolutely not. Had no clue. I thought they were a little bit cuckoo. Especially when the words would come. Go ahead and laugh, Linda. You were part of that team. Yeah. And I would watch and I would say, God, how come? And then God began to push my buttons. And I began to understand that the body of Christ was a corporate body. And he hasn't let go of that truth. That corporate body means every vessel has something to give. Every vessel has something to build you up. Individually and corporately. It's both. And say, oh, well, what do I need with all that? After all, it's mumbo jumbo. Nobody can make a heads out of tail. Yeah, you're right. You can't make heads out of tail. But you need the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will bring clarity. Look what he did with it this morning. How many times did he need to hit you over the head to get a clue that he's on the job and using you? I'm glad you graduated from the three-wheel bike. Yeah. Three-wheel bikes are great. But one with speeds on it will get you there faster.
Especially if the Lord is...
And the Lord is the one that's operating the mechanism. Amen. That's the cool part.
Amen.
It's not Gary pushing the buttons. Mm-hmm. Gary probably would push the wrong button. Okay? Come on, guys, say amen.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
So this corporate river is going to be so gigantic that it's going to clean up what's going on in the earth. And that includes everything that's happening in Washington. You know, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. The Lord is in control. Now, verse 6. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the banks of the river. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Oh, trees. Wonder what they are. They're you. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. The sea is the ocean of people. When it empties into the sea, the waters that becomes fresh, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish. Who are fish? People again. Okay? Jesus says, I will make Peter into a fisher of men. Okay? Because, I'm sorry, this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh, so where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Engel. There will be a place for spreading nets. The fish will be as of many kinds, nationalities, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both sides of the banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruits fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. And it's confirmed in Revelation chapter 22. So is God on the job this morning? Is he letting you know? What's next? Healing for the nations. It's not just for you. It's not all about you. It's about him. But him inside of you. As a river. Flowing out. touching, and recreating whatever has been dead for years. And you say, well, my goodness, why all the obstructions? Why all the war games? Well, I've got news for you. I learned many, many times over and over that if I did it right, there would be repercussions. There would be war games against me. And there was. But I had to learn to stand and obey and do whatever God says to the best of my ability, and He took care of the rest. And the intercessors, by the way, kept me alive. The intercessors kept me alive. And I can tell you that there was homework involved. There was also persecution involved. There was persecution to the point that people who had their head knowledge all figured out had an incredible problem with me. Because I kept trying to do, to the best of my ability, whatever the Lord said. And I listened to His spirit rather than my brain. And the more you listen to your spirit, the more that the river of life will flow through you. And you'll be giving out words when you least expect it. You'll be giving out life to those that have no hope. And as you give out that life, you'll say, my God, what am I doing? I'm doing just being normal. I've got news for you. Even in school, Seth, even when you think you're not giving life, you are a light. You are a light. And yes, there will be persecution. Some people aren't going to like you because you're bright. And it's okay.